interrupting the current neo-coronial cricketism to bring you Behind the Woodshed. This is Cricket Tude Busting Episode BTW RLM443. Keep plugging along. I'm going to keep on going on, going on. And folks, I don't know. There's lots of people I talk with. Everyone's coming up to, I guess there's a deadline here now on the tomorrow, probably. People going to work and going to possibly losing their jobs. And it's kind of interesting how many people have decided they're done with it. They're done with the work. They don't need to be where they were, even though they like what they were doing. And I'm finding out it's kind of interesting. A lot of people, I'll explain to people what they need to do or what it looks like the objective basis, the black and white says they need to do. And a lot of time I'm talking to young folks that I'm looking at and say, don't make a record that looks like you were just resistant. Make a record that shows that nobody had a cause to come against you. Because as we move into the new future that they're trying to throw us down for a while, if we don't prevail back against it, you know, all the resistors are going to have this mark on them. And we're not going to be able to tell what that future might bring as they really try to make, you're going to see here a late breaking issue coming up in the news that is going to continue to pit the healthy versus those that are not so smart. Actually, they're very smart. The intelligence versus the SMART people who are not so smart. And they're not forward-thinking at all as far as the ramifications. And not placing any blame. We're probably set up for the takedown on that. But it's getting down and dwindling down. And I was asking in the chat room at RLM, reallibermedia.com, where is that line when people stop caving? There's nothing to cave into because you have said, there is nothing that more that I can lose or that I expect that I should lose that I'm going to resist at the point I need to and how. So they're all focusing on the asymptomat as I've been talking about it. We kind of give it a name so we have something to go, but they're coming in and they're saying that you have to do certain things, and the unvaxxed American is essentially the healthy American. So if someone's coming at you, like, demanding that they come at me and say, I need a vaccine. While they have agreed to accept this chemical weapon and wear a mask. You can see you have a problem there in the type of psychology you're dealing with. There's a screw loose, essentially. Yeah, you know, when being healthy is a threat, you just got to tell them to stay away. They're wearing a mask and they're wanting to get the vaccine and all this other stuff. You just got to say, stay the heck away from me. You are a lunatic. You're going to have to start asserting yourself as we start watching the pressure to come on to go seek people out. License given to third parties without any authority whatsoever, given license to go abuse other people. They come against you, you're going to have to tell them that they are the problem. They are the contagion. Tell them, stop their trespass against you. Go wear your mask and get your vaccine and keep your distance from everyone else like a normal psychopath. I hope you appreciate that we see it and we talk about it, but it's going to come into application. You just can't know that this is the lunacy. Someone who believes the vaccine is protecting them and still wears a mask, which is supposed to protect them, or if they, as the rule is supposed to be, prevents the disease and comes against you being healthy, you're dealing with insane people. And there's going to be a point where you're going to have to stand up against it. So these people are the contagion. It's a psychological attack that you're dealing with. And it's really, I don't understand how to say it anymore. It's really, it goes up so high in evil, it's in the demonic, what's going on here. And how many people have, whatever you want to call it, hypnosis or promotion, whatever, mind control, the problem is it's there. So these people should be told to keep, if they're worried about it and they got a mask and a vaccine, they need to be told to keep their distance like any normal psychopath. And then also needing to be told to, then it gets that out into the point of what we're talking about, what they're doing to us. Stop being complicit in the crimes against mankind. Leave us unvaxxed Americans to suffer our health and sanity in peace. And I'm saying these things, thoughts occurred to me this week, that we're going to have some kind of a way to address this problem and start to orient the condition closer to, well, exactly to where it is, what's going on. Because this whole thing is inverted, and it's going to be mass perception against you, the diminishing you, that are the unvaxxed masses. And I still think we're going to have a formidable press back. We don't have to go out attack. What we need to do is have a word in our mouth for defense. We're going to need to get together, mutual help, as I've been saying. And we need to address these people that would come against us. And I would hope you do it in the official side, because that's the record that you get to rely on that they don't have. The officials don't have the record against you. And then you present yourself against the standard of the law. And I think these people that would come at you and demand, or whoever, I don't care if the president of the United States, so-called, or the official, or the business now, they're giving the businesses, I've seen it again, and it's coming up again, the associates with the state or third-party businesses are given the power, are assuming the power of the state. And the people come underneath that, thinking they're righteous to come against unvaxxed Americans, against healthy people. Again, that's a disability now, as I was talking to you last week. And I do hope you're going around looking at the information I'm telling you about. So these people that come against you, you out them for essentially being complicit in crimes against mankind. Now, do you even know what that means? Well, they want to call about crimes against humanity, but human is a made-up word since about the 1400s, as far as I can tell. But we're actually talking about mankind, and in the law, agency has to be responsive to the needs of mankind. And there's a distinction made for those of you that may have never heard that before. And it's not inconsequential what they're talking about there. But you tell these people that are coming at you, after you have somehow you let them know, maybe what I've just in the entry of the broadcast, stop your trespass against me. If you think the vax is cool and you think the max is fine, great, you wear it. You have another arm, take your jab and stick it. And I'm not saying this to you just tell someone that because you have no more thought in your brain about it. You're able to say that because there's a black and white, an objective basis that you can stand with, that stands with you, actually, that nobody has actually brought forward, and nobody, apart from the officials and the companies, and none of those persons can speak against. And nobody that relies on that, like the people that they're going to send against you, the third party, the people themselves, as they divide this society, all these societies, amongst themselves, no one's going to be able to back up into a law that protects them from the trespass against you. You can also suggest to these folks that they insist upon the force to impose their hysterics. You can just let them know they're a psychopath. They're a deranged, narcissistic psychopath. And I wonder, is that redundant, deranged psychopath? But this is the day that we're in, apparently. And I don't understand why people, I understand why people don't want to address it. But this is an attack coming at us, and it's kind of an odd attack. It's not like physically being attacked until there's someone's in your face. Then there's going to have to be a thought in your brain about where the law protects us, those people that are not supposed to be subjects to this arbitrary and capricious response to a non-existent condition. And we know that because there has been never demonstrated a non-fraudulent exigency. And we also, as a society, as people, we don't understand how to think about what's coming at us. And I'm going to touch a little bit as I move into this. I guess I could just talk about the news, but that's why I just do the tabs and we talk about the ramifications of what we're looking at, because this is coming into a dynamic time. I don't know if people really appreciate maybe what I do or what I don't do here, or what they think or they don't think I do. But as we've been moving through, I've been pretty much on target, trying to keep ahead of it, trying to let you know what's coming. A lot of people don't want to hear about it. A lot of people don't understand actually what I'm talking about. Some are trying to take on what they can now, It is very difficult, and a lot of it's just not familiar. It's the unfamiliarity. I'll get it out with what we're dealing with in an unfamiliar time. Like I told you, this is the most unique thing that a people of the world, essentially the societies of the populations of the world, would have ever have to deal with, was this police power prerogative underneath a medical imperative, or at least claim so. Again, I targeted that way back in the beginning, and I started to explain how and what you're going to have to do, and you're going to see evidence of that when I get to the tabs. So speaking of these deranged psychopaths, these officials, you know, the sovereign citizens who claim the power to control humans in the public interest. Thought this through, what's really starting to go on? It appears now that the war against the presumption of innocence is a public interest. Crimes against mankind, again, not humankind, against mankind is now in the public interest. And if you're not seeing the war against you by now, I don't know what really to say. But we have people that we're up against that we're going to have to at some point deal with. Or they're dealing with us. That's the other problem. So there's these leaders of the free world we're talking about, these sovereign citizens that apparently haven't any duty to any law. Now, I don't know where that came from, but it sure seems to be a universal agreement. Everyone nods their head and lets this thing happen, and there's no law to allow it. There's no objective basis to allow it. And so we can redefine it. We're in a lawless state. Is that the future you want to move into? A lot of people say, yeah, lawlessness. They want to define it like as an anarchy, a chaos, and as long as we all do our thing. Well, this is the people that are coming. This is the anarchy coming. That's coming on its own terms to come and invade. And so we either start arguing amongst ourselves about these definitions of these words, which I explained to you technically, anarchy is communism. I went through all that. I gave all the objective proof of that 2 years ago now, I think it was. So we can argue amongst ourselves what these words mean, or we can watch what they're doing to us and have to decide, do we agree or do we don't? And if we don't, what are we going to do about it? These leaders of the free world claim to have the right to control humans in the public interest. So what about the men and women? When are you going to stand up as they treat you like animals? As they treat you like those without property or inheritable blood, just as this Santa Claus, Genghis Khan, Schwab clown says, you will have no property and you will like it. You won't even have the sense of it either. But humans are animals. They're not mankind or womankind. And the public interest is anything promoting government oppression. What free world are they referring to, folks? And this is when you start watching what public interest is, and you understand the word public means government, and you start reoriented your thought about what they're telling us all the time, what's going on. You start to realize what I've been saying behind the woodshed when I started seeing this back in the 90s. It had to eventually was developing what has been told to me in a magic decoder ring, seeing through the deception, being able to decipher the deception. A lot of people can do more of it now, but they still don't know really how to do most of it. And then they don't understand what that means or how to address it. And I've come up with ways to address it, at least to keep it neutralized, because part of the problem is numbers, but neutralize it for us, let's say, for each one of us that would do so. And getting back quickly to the mining claim, and yes, I'm still working on that complaint, which turned out, like I said, it's like, this is a criminal complaint that I'm writing up. It's like 50 pages, and I'm now in the first draft and moving it on into refinement. It's been a lot of work. There's no objective law out there that it provides for these sovereign citizens and the government official to do anything that they're doing. There's also apparently not a will for so-called law enforcement, those people that you would rely on to enforce the law. There's a lot of excuses. It's coming down, as I've told you, to each one of us to be able to do that. So we're going to put forth a complaint, and the only thing we can do is, as I talk about inside the document, we have to suffer this continually until someone wants to step up who does have the right, if you will, in this society, this civilized society, to prosecute crime, to begin to do so. You know, we all shrug our shoulders maybe. We all say, yeah, and laugh. But here, if we don't do something, we don't start laying the record down of where the maladministration is, they use that against you, just like they're using your unvaccinated American status as a problem. In fact, your healthy status has become a problem, should be a problem for you, because it has a bigger connotation of what's going on. So this unilateral presumption that anyone is subject to the state is an unwarranted trespass, violating the presumption of innocence. And this is what I was trying to, I've told a couple of people, and it's kind of blew them away, actually. People that that we've worked together in the past. We don't do too much together. I don't do too much with many people. I don't know why, actually. I would like to work with quite a few people, but I might be in a different place, actually, on how this all really starts to work. I don't have some of the baggage that a lot of people do. I typically will cut right through it, but this presumption of innocence is really more of a property. And I hold on to that a lot, and why not? And so there's a presumption that you don't have that presumption of innocence. It's why this whole thing flips over. You're assumed to be a problem. That's just nothing more than what's sustainable. Those people that want to impose that ideological pathocracy is what we're watching come on us. I think a pathocracy is what we're seeing. I'm trying to find names for this thing. It's just a violation. It's a violation of everything we understand. So now that being healthy is a crisis emergency in a public disturbance, folks, as you listen around the news, and grounds for instant arrest and abduction, how sick are people going to be driven, folks? How will you, the unvaccinated, be driven into the sick society without responding to it? Because it gets sick and it starts to respond against us, and it's coming in the news about all this. So you get arrested because you're presumed not innocent, and you're presumed to be a cause, and you can be abducted now. This is, I've been telling you, what's coming now. I don't know, way before even 2019, I've been talking about this. And so we have an example of this whole condition in the story that I come across. It was a link sent to me, and then I had to track it down. I can't just take these links and just say, okay, that's what's going on. They're violating us. I got to find out how. It's always worth, for me, it's been worth, very, very valuable to track down what are the real facts about what the application, and as I'm reading, I'm applying laws, I'm applying conditions, forums, venues, these kinds of things into what I read. In this case, we're going to get to something about abduction by a police officer is considered a crime, but they blame you for the crime. That's criminal. That's not civil, and that's also not administrative. And yet, there may be a problem with that in the first order, and this is where we start to get missing the point. So, let me move on now to the story I'm talking about. Was first given heads up on a Wyoming student arrested for not wearing a mask. Laramie High School, folks, junior, Grace Smith was arrested Thursday morning for not wearing a mask, says her father. The school is charging her with trespassing, but there are those who say the trespassing charges because she refused to wear a mask. Okay, so that's all speculation, but I was focusing on, they're talking to her father. Good point. I got to go find out what he says. Her father, Andy Smith, was a guest on Cowboy State Politics, a podcast out of Buffalo, Wyoming. You can listen to Mr. Smith's entire interview at this link. And I said, great, let's go there. So that's what I've done. You can read these links, and I think you need to read and follow through. I think they're instructive on what's going on, and I want to touch some things about this. And listening to this, I went to the Cowboy State Politics Podbean. You'll get a link later, or over at Sound Minds, if he's showing it, you'll see it's available. There is this interview, and so I listened to the interview, and I can't remember now. It's been so much information coming through anymore, it's hard for me to keep up, but I just wanted to touch some things. First, about his discussion about the condition, and I wanted to point out some things because I think we jump too fast, or we go too far, or we don't go far enough, or we don't do the right arguments, if it's an argument, we don't present the right thing, and we don't challenge in the right ways, and I'm not putting judgment, I'm talking let's listen and watch what's going on, and let's see if we might be able to produce for ourselves a better response as we go, even for maybe this father. Maybe you have a line to the guy. I don't know. Maybe there's a different. Maybe what I say has nothing no bearing. Maybe they moved beyond it. In fact, it's what Reinhard Fulmich, the attorney that's suing in the global COVID thing, I'm listening very carefully. I think I have something to offer him, but I'm not really sure they're positioned really to accept it because of where they position the case. They may not be interested to go after all the local jurisdictions that never follow the law. And I don't even know if that would be interesting to them. And I don't mean interesting. I mean substantively applicable. Because what it does is they start, again, they're starting, in my thought, in the step back. He can get to the fraud, but he's not asserting the fraud. And nobody seems to do that. And we're going to see a case that goes down the tubes. And it's exactly what I was been saying about why and what the better course might be. But on first blush, when I've listened to this interview with the father, Grace Smith's father, I wanted to study, confirm the facts about it, so I wanted to listen. When you listen to how he's talking, who he talked about, his brother was also involved, and they made tons of phone calls, and this is the kind of work it starts to take. And I put it on a war level. You're in an intelligence gathering capacity now. He had his brother helping. They're calling all over, and they get a hold of the governor, and they get moved around. They get shuffled around like you would. So you got to expect to be shuffled around like most of us know when we get involved with anybody, any bureaucracy. You just got to keep your notes, keep track, keep pressing. And they finally got a hold of a state senior advisor to the governor. And when you listen to what he says, the governor, the state advisor governor, which is talking to him, straight up, right at him, it sounded pretty straight up and honest about what was going on. You'll notice that they have planned that they're going to impose this, even though they will claim that we still have this question under that precedent should cover, case law. There should be some case law that covers it. In other words, the decision maker doesn't even know that there is no case law that they're imposing this mask and this mitigation side again. This is the other problem. And that when you hear them say that this will have to go to the court to decide, that proves that the governor is anticipating you. They are going to press to the courts, which are also likely going to be bought in the sense that they're probably in on the fraud in that they are too ignorant as well. These people are bar members. They're not all-seeing lawful eyes of justice. But when you listen to them rely on court decisions to stop this, you realize that they are not relying on black and white. They're not relying on the law in the first place. And this is a setup. And it's a planned setup. And so you have to kind of put your mind, or you have to put in your mind, again, this is why the record becomes so much, to start taking away what they thought they could rely on. So they wanted it'll take a court decision to stop them. That's not referring to a law they're acting under. And then they're deferring to a questionable application on the applicable precedent. They don't even know if it's applicable. That's not lawful. That's not relying on law. See, if you rely on law, I don't need a judge. It's that they create a question that actually doesn't exist and shouldn't exist in order to give them what they claim, the authority they claim. Let me put it, that is not demonstrating a lawful purpose. And these are all the clues that this is a setup, and you're going to have to understand it. And this guy's walking into a problem. His daughter, for as valiant as she is, they're walking into a problem, and they're not quite understanding what they do, and they're not quite understanding what they're walking into, and the state's telling them something that I think if you listen to and you understand what's going on, you can start orienting this case, and we're going to need to across the country, or we're going to lose in every venue is going to be a loss without the evidence of the corruption of the system. And that feeds into the insanity. and I see this in the comments, and the, oh, good, this supports us. This supports our, oh, this supports that jabs are good. This supports this, that, and the other. Doctors that are talking about numbers, and I'm looking at, well, you didn't, and they're telling how, talking about how they tell the truth. And I'm looking at the numbers. Well, how'd you come up with the number for the, how'd you come up with a case? How'd you come up with the SARS-CoV-2? That's a fraud. That's a mean, there's no test for it. How are your numbers even valid? How they even exist? No one asked that question. No, they take sides. Oh, we're the vaccines. We got to now justify why I got vaccines. And the other side says, I'm not going to go there. Just further driving a wedge between society and not what? Focusing on the black and white. Not focusing on what was supposed to happen and put the feet to, put those feet, those who've made the decisions feet to the fire on that objective basis. So they're doing this despite demonstrating a state emergency. And they're relying on someone stopping them by going to the courts where there is actually no state precedent, no court precedent. And actually there wouldn't be, would there? This is a we're talking about novel. This is a novel condition. I told you this was going to be the first time societies would ever see this. How would there be court precedent on this? These people have figured this out really well. Because when they realize that if nobody challenges, as I've tried to get people to do, challenges the failure to demonstrate a non-fraudulent exigency, to provide the authority that's making the decision with the prerogative they see and sought, when nobody challenges that, you've seen immediately the courts gave them the right to make the determinations, and they failed, they're derelict in their duty to check whether or not that was done themselves. I told you, showed you that system was integrated. It's an all in an integrated overthrow. You're watching a coup d'etat of your way of life. And they're continually in the power position because no one's challenged it. So they admit they're going to go, they expect you to go fight them, and they're going to go do it in the courts, and there's no case precedent. This was coming from this interview. This is what I got from the father talking about his interview with the senior advisor to the governor. They're going on a hope and a prayer that no one catches it. And because the system is systemically biased in the direction of the fraud, it's going to take a whole lot more of us. Not like some of you telling me, sending me emails, I understand, I'm talking to you too, that you know, you're now seeing how difficult it is to get people to stop a wrongful course that they're on and try and take responsibility for themselves. Like we've kind of reduced a couple of you, we were talking, you just got to plant the seeds and hope that it finds fertile ground, but most people are really not fertile ground. They're handing the responsibility to somebody else. So this young girl steps up, but she, and not to judge her because she wouldn't have known. She shouldn't have had to be put in this position, but nonetheless she stands up. And then she's going to feel the brunt of where the problem is, and the fathers, they're doing their best. And I'm looking and watching how the answers are being handed to them. If they knew what they were listening for, that I don't hear reflected in the interview. Not a judgment, just for us to observe. I hope you can look and listen and observe. Essentially, they're stating that the mandates, there's no mandates in force and effect. And interestingly, that statement from the senior advisor and the interaction is reflected in a court case that just happened. We'll get to here, I hope, soon, a few more tabs down the road. That, again, the state of Oregon, the Supreme Court of Appeals came out and said essentially the same thing, but they soft-pedaled it. They hid it in a phrase. There's no real mandates across the country. And I'm wanting to know if that's the given, that's the case, where have the attorneys been, being that they're the stalwarts of liberty for us and protecting us, and where have we been when they didn't do that to say the same thing? So, right up front, we're not in law. This is not law enforcement. And the cops showing up to arrest this girl is not law enforcement. And so that started to bring on another idea. What's really going on here? Maybe we need a different analysis. So this is, if there's no law and you have the tyranny sitting there, the enforcers, and the law enforcement of the chief law enforcer of the state, the attorney general, is not speaking up. This is not law. It's oppression under color of law. And again, because of the chief law officer being a bar member, an attorney, this is consistently where we see that the bar members are aiding and abetting the chief law officer of the state is aiding and abetting fraud to oppress you, to oppress this little girl, despite the best efforts of her father, which, again, squeaky wheel is going to get some, there's going to get some things going on here. What I want is to see that there may have been a better, faster way to get at it, and I don't mean in the interview, because what happens in the school against her at the time, the cops are too stupid and they're being fortified to be criminals and thugs and oppressors. They don't realize, and this is when we get down to the nubbins of the quick thing, they don't realize the girl has been trespassed. And this goes back to the idea I was talking to you about before, where when you walk into a third party place and they try to keep you out, they don't have that you're the cause of the problem in an official record, how they become liable immediately for the trespass they claim you're making. And this is where we got to that facilities manager. So this is one of the things that start to go in my mind. Where's the facilities manager? Could the father have asked for the facilities manager of the school? And I'm going to suggest, yes, they could have. You need an attorney here very quickly, because there's also something else going on. Not only can it not be criminal, if we move on further in the discussion of this, it cannot be criminal yet. It works similarly to the employer. There's a whole lot of things the school district has to do here, these administrators. And what did I just say? The school administrator, that's administration, not law. That's not judicial. And so the state's attorney general sitting back there not doing anything, that's aiding and abetting this fraud against this little girl and their father, and all the work and all the delay that's going on in the bureaucracy the father and the brother of the father is doing to try and sort this thing out, trying to avoid this problem. The chief of police is saying, I don't want to arrest her and make an example of her. They end up doing it anyway, but they did it by deceit and artifice. You'll hear about all that as well. And so what we have when we have everyone wants to say this is a bad government. No, this is not government at all. There's no objective basis. It's strictly oppression, and it's a war against the people. Again, you know them when you see them. Labor Code is a very instructive Article 1, says it right there. You don't have to be told that you're an occupied people. You're in a war. You just look around. You'll see it. And that's why we don't have to tell you. The state then here has no limits, despite the constitutional provisions against governmental interference, and the slave, where the slaves now have must prove to the same oppressor their worthiness to their property rights, which nevertheless a slave has none. If you understand where they've got us, what if I say slave? You know, oh, we're not slaves. Yeah, you are. You're the freed people given rights, and only those rights. And where do I find that? Your civil rights are what? Your civil rights are in Title 42, Section 1981. So the slaves of that system subject to that point. You don't have property. You already don't have a right to property. So you have, nevertheless, here we have the slaves don't have a right, don't have an approach. As I told you, I've showed you what parents and child relationships, how parents don't have any rights. No, they're dictated to. And the breach of the oath of office of everybody that's involved is not considered in force and effect. That's not even considered until after the fact of the system-protected challenge for breach, which means you are pressed to have to argue how they're wrong. You don't get your rights up front. And then you have to go to the oppressor in order to get the response. Why, most people just give up on this stuff. And I'm not saying it's not there. I'm saying you have to, my thought is when the massive community has to now step up because of that constitutional constraint on a reservation to themselves, when they made this place, these people before us, of which we're supposed to be the posterity, when you stand up beyond the slave, they are now in the position where they put the onus on you to stop them for the maladministration they're committing. And this was the double-edged sword I saw in the constitutions that said these things are not very good. In fact, again, someone I don't work with too much, but we've talked in the past and done some interactions, Clint Richardson. That's where, after I showed him the Title 42 thing, he got it. He's one of the few people that just immediately was able to get it. And you've seen him speak in that regard ever in everything he puts out. He's able to see that part that's the exploitation within what we thought the organic established documents were giving us were actually the double-edged sword as they could take. And why we were told it's our obligation to keep the Republic. We had to keep our part to keep away the exploitation of the part they could steal. So this is not law enforcement. This is not even government. This is strictly oppression. It's oppression under color of law enforcement. We're only part of the law. Bringing benefit to the oppressor is ever considered, and then only in the opinion of the oppressor. We got opinions, judges' opinions. So, trying to lay this whole thing out, boy, I'm taking a lot longer. It's very important to understand. If you start listening to what's going on, they're explaining a condition. And my first opinion was, why don't you just get your daughter out of the school? That's my first opinion. But they're into a thing now. And as I told a friend of mine who was looking, they're coming down to their time about writing their affidavit. I said, why don't you just write the affidavit? They're on the fence. They're done with their job. They like it, but they're done with their job. They don't need to put up with it. Most people are going to go that way. I said, but that's going to leave an open record that they had a right to force you out. Why don't you just write the affidavit of exception and get it denied, and then you can make another objection, and then you can walk. At least your record's closed. You've done what you could. You can show it wasn't your fault. This is what they want to do, make records that it's all of our fault. That the government who has the so-called government, the oppressors, who have the prerogative, the presumption of correctness, the sovereign citizens, you have to make the record that they didn't have a cause to accept that. It's not available to them. So you hear in the interview that the discussion and the father saying the cops were telling him, so I think it was the cops that was saying that this thing, this suspension that the administrator put on the girl moved the condition into a legal matter. And so I want to look at that legal matter. What is that legal? The suspension, really, if you look at this, is not criminal, and it's not, doesn't move the legal matter from into penal, which is criminal, or civil. It's strictly administrative. And so when you look at that, that decision to cause a suspension was supposed to come by certain parameters, and those things were supposed to be written down. So now let's move in. If this is an administrator doing current school administration, you are now in an administrative issue that the courts, the judicial side has said, is not ripe for the judicial courts, which should include the criminal side, until that record is disposed in the law, relative whether or not it's correctly in the law. It will be deemed on an appeal. But that is the point. It doesn't go anywhere. It's not ripe until the appeal. And then it's disposed, finally, by the Supreme Court if it goes that far. So this whole thing where the cops are involved is what I'm telling you is the trespass. They denied this girl, and likely her father, because he should be actually in the front end of this, and I think he's trying to be there, but she's the one suffering the oppression. Would assert that the cops had no right to take her because it's still in an administrative adjudication. So these cops are not law enforcement. They're just they're just oppressors. And I guess I'm going through this because I want people to understand that there's another way to show and present that things aren't going correctly, and these people that are coming to hurt us at some point, being given license to hurt us, don't have that license actually. So this is a contested case hearing, as far as I can tell, at an administrator level. The cops shouldn't even be involved at this point. This is not trespassing against the girl either, because they don't have the cause settled. They actually should now stop messing with her, let her go while they go through the hassle of doing the administrative hearings that they have invoked. Without cause, essentially. Because that's the first object. Where's the cause? Where's the real cause? This is why I'm saying you can't argue with the mask. You argue with they have not demonstrated a non-fraudulent exigency to give them the police power in order to do that. And they are the state. They're a functionary of the state. So we would go to their APA, their Administrative Procedures Act, and we would force this thing through an Administrative Procedures hearing process, which would likely be a contested case. That's the administrative due process. This little girl's been denied. They keep talking about going after the mask, where's the mandate, this and that, when in fact, procedurally, she's been violated. And as long as we keep looking past what procedurally would happen, you're handing the government a ton. You're handing the government oppressor a ton of stuff. It's just agreed at that point they had the power. This is a little different than demanding the non-fraudulent agency. Even if you go ahead and give it to them, there was some due process. You can't waive any of that. And if you have a record that shows that you waived it, it's not heard when you go to the judicial side. So, as you hear in the interview, the cops saying that school suspension orders convert the condition to a legal matter, that requires then a meaningful administrative hearing to dispose that issue in a contested case before the cops can act upon a legitimate claim for trespass. I hope you understand that. They have to have the official paperwork. You even see that in the labor code. We see that in the mining code. There has to be a judicial process regarding property or the rights of things that are interfered with. They can't just come, these administrators don't have the power just to do certain things. And yet we give it over to them. We'd rather like go argue or talk or find out what's going on with the governor's office instead of doing the procedures. Again, not a judgment against the father or the daughter at all. This is just what I think we're not doing correctly. And I think when we start seeing the administrative nature of this, when we start insisting that the issue is not ripe for any law enforcement at this point, then we can back off people and we show that they were wrong. What we're also doing then is instructing the system on how to put itself back in its own cage where it belongs, which they take license when you don't do it correctly to get out of their cage and thrash you. So there's no disposed administrative hearing which would give a correct determination whether or not that she was actually in the wrong. And now we know if for communicable disease here, the school administrator, he's without more than just this communicable disease claim. He has no power to determine anyone is an infectious principal. There's no law for that. How do we know that? We go to the communicable disease law of that state. No one's talking about this in this interview. Not that I would expect it, but I'm trying to say we have to be better aware of what's going on so we can analyze what's going on and understand the narrow path that's left for us. I'll have to get through this and get over to the rest of the tabs. And again, as I said, this is working the same way as labor law. If you look, it's all pretty much the same. The necessities shall first be demonstrated with due process, which usually includes a remedy, a relief, in case it's wrong, in case of error, before anything can legitimately be able to interfere with your property or rights or pertinent rights or any of that stuff. They don't have the power to merely state there's a violation. The officers actually stated it went to a legal matter, but I don't know if they appreciated that didn't invoke their power. It was that they would probably have to be refrained from their power until the adjudication, the paperwork, the orders, the lawful orders, the final disposition of that issue was done in the courts, which is ultimately the administrative process moved from contested case into judicial hearing. And if the father did not challenge the failure of the administrator to demonstrate the non-fraudulent agency and hit him for fraud, they likely would lose anyway. But if they do, that brings it into issue, doesn't it? And that administrator is not going to, he'll show eventually on the record that they didn't do it. And so that's, okay, so a lot of discussion there on this girl, this courageous girl, stepping up. Father doing the same thing, getting involved, leaving it to his daughter to make some decisions, trying to keep her informed, and they're doing a courageous thing. But I'm wondering here, whether or not they've gone down a couple wrong trails, they're not going to have the record they need, and we're going to see a little bit of evidence what happens when you don't have that record and you don't challenge straight up. When you don't challenge the condition as a fraud, that they don't have the necessity that they're claiming proven, it provides the government the prerogative presumption of sovereign power. And that you have to defeat. Why? Why is that even there? Well, it's the reservations. The reservations in the Constitution that created the organic establishment made reservations. That is really where we have it's not all their way or the highway. And this is what they call that balancing thing. And I've looked to see, well, if I've got a granted savings clause under an obligation of trust, then they can't violate that. Period. Done. like your highways, like the mining law, like the land, the homesteads, all that patented stuff. That's a fulfilled obligation between the federal and state government to you. And if you start looking at for those things in the law, like due process is one of those things. And it's all in every communicable disease law that's being denied to this girl. And the administrator didn't do administrative procedures correctly in order when they harmed that girl, and that girl should have known when they did that, she could go directly to the judiciary and say that they never produced the non-fraudulent exigency and she got harmed. I think her position starts to get a lot more important. And do you understand? I never went to the governor here to go find out. What the governor's senior advisor told us is that they have planned to come against you and force you to go to the courts that have no precedent. And if you understand what I just said there, you understand what I've been telling you is absolutely what you have to do. If there's no precedent, then they have to rely on what the law, before they got there, required of them. And as I said, you're not bringing an issue to an equity court. You're bringing your right title interest and the obstruction of that without warrant to them. Now, no silver bullets, but I think that makes a better record, and she would have her courageous response to oppression may be more fortified if in the way I'm saying, and if more people would back that part up, I'm thinking we would get a lot farther faster. So let me move on now. I hope I explained that correctly. They let the cops in before there was an actual adjudicated administrative process and contested case hearing. And no one's saying that there was a violation of due process. And so the little girl may be going down the wrong path here, even though she's right. I mean, there's just, I don't see, again, she's right in my eyes. Not because she's young, not because she's a student, is because they have not demonstrated a non-fraudulent exigency for the impositions and oppression they're placing on her. And they haven't provided due process. They're just dictating a condition. That's not law enforcement. That's not organic government. That's not good government. This is a bunch of people, insane people, a bunch of hysterics and insane people. The psychopaths are starting to show them. They've shown themselves. And I guess the point is, what do we do about it? A young girl decided to step up. And I'm not, don't want to condemn her at all on any bit of it. But I'm seeing that we don't understand some of the structuring of the way this place works in order to defend ourselves better. And so they arrested her. Right? By scheme and artifice, you'll hear how they did it, to try and justify the position. So now she's pressed again. So if you don't challenge him up front, you're going to be having to, if you want relief, you're going to have to then challenge him with the burden. If you don't challenge them in front where they have the burden, you're going to have to do it afterwards if you want like a civil rights claim. You'll have to do it with you have the burden later. And you won't have that record that they were wrong when you go into your court case. And this is coming up. This was decided again in this news this week. A judge won't allow, deny for qualified immunity based on the cops and way down the road. If we get to it now, we move on. Same thing here. Do we have the right argument? Are we looking at the right thing? Where are these attorneys? Where are they to help? Where's the right advice? What's coming on? Where's the pro bono even when we're underneath this war condition attacking little girls? Where were the attorneys to come up and give the right help? And I'm wondering whether or not a lot of people know what that right help is anymore. And I only speak from my experience and what I've read and how it works together and how it starts to make sense, at least to me, on how I approach this, that I think they should know that much. And if I was wrong, they would still then discuss they couldn't go that way because it was wrong for a reason. They would also state that. But we don't hear any of that disclosure. And that's the other thing. This girl is not getting the disclosure, neither her father, of really what's going on. And they think that it's all lawful what's coming down. That's the other problem. They're not really thinking this is... They think that the action against the daughter's wrong, not that the action, the authority in toto is wrong, is crime. So this is what I've... again, these lawyers, they just seem to come out and do the wrong argument, and I know that's my opinion, but I'll just go through this one. I know it's hindsight, maybe armchair, whatever, quarterbacking here, but this is a guy who comes out, talks about, he writes about it. I agree with his sentiment, but I don't agree necessarily with his law or how he does it. Coming out of the Rutherford Institute, U.S. Supreme Court concurs. Trouble understanding police orders constitutes resistance, justifies use of excessive force. The United States Supreme Court has refused to overturn a lower court ruling that justifies the use of excessive force by police on people who don't understand police orders. Now, that to me, that's shocking. I agree. That if that's the way that was, that's shocking. But that's so shocking, a headline. I had to go make sure for myself. And there was something wrong. I needed to go find the court case and the decision. I found the court case and the decision. I think it's in the article. And the opinion is that they are justifying excessive force. Well, when you read the story, there's a question. And the question is, and this is another problem too, because this guy was pointed out in a park, parked in a parking lot, which seems innocuous enough, by somebody else saying that they thought he was of trouble or some kind of problem or he needed to be checked on. And that there was apparently, and this is not in the record, apparently there was a thought that he was on PCP. Now, I don't know where, that there's no evidence. When you read the part of the procedure part of the case, and the court talks about the unrebutted evidence showed a certain set of facts that wasn't rebutted by the defendant, the guy that got beat up, that he was not on PCP. And so when I saw that right at the beginning of this, I'm thinking, wait a minute, this is, now we just go right down from the judge saying, the evidence showed this, the cop had the reasonable belief, it was not rebutted, that the guy was on PCP. Now, I don't know about you, but all the things I've heard about PCP is you don't want to mess with someone that's on that. And so since that point right there, and this was a Title 42 USC 1983 case where officers have the ability to dismiss a case for qualified immunity. When I saw that there was a potential report that was unrebutted that the possibility, the reasonable suspicion was the guy was on PCP and the court and the cops show up and the guy's not being responsive, I'm thinking, how is this not? We understand how the courts treat the cops. I mean, it's a long way to go. How is it that they couldn't reasonably believe that they would be in potential harm's way? That they're going to be given by the court a lot of license in order to control and get this guy controlled where he's not showing any, where he's maybe even showing some aggression or not causing a nice consistent dealing with him. And you listen, he doesn't deal with them, or causing delay, hesitation, this and that. And so, I want to go back just to the title. I'm just going to tell you, when I saw that there was an unrebutted, reasonable presumption that the cop could have that the guy was on PCP, that guy pretty much is out of it for having any type of a defense. And I know that's going to sound a little bit harsh. I'm just talking about the reality of how the courts treat this, or as I've seen them treat it. The title of this story is U.S. Supreme Court Concurs. Trouble Understanding Police Orders Constitutes Resistance, Justifies Use of Excessive Force is not what happens in the case. In fact, you'll see, you read the first few paragraphs, the gentleman actually did understand. He just didn't respond for minutes at a time. And so this headline by the Rutherford Institute here is not actually accurate. It's sensational. It's inflammatory. It's got my attention. But this is the guy that I love to hate. I mean, I appreciate his sentiment, but I can't believe he's an attorney that actually puts that headline on a case that I just saw that says the cops had the reasonable belief that they could have been harmed by someone on PCP. And then the guy was acting hesitant and following their orders, but took a long time. And I'm talking minutes here, not the seconds like we hear 2 seconds and the guy's window's broken in for a traffic stop. Now, I don't like the guy getting snitched on and all that stuff, and so the cops are even there. Why were the cops even there, is my thought. At any rate, so that's the problem, and that's your problem. At some point, you don't know what's in the mind of the cop, and if you think there's justice, you're going to have to figure out some way to anticipate the thing you don't know. In this case, someone said they thought he was on drugs. And that's what the mind of the cop showing up that's going to end up asking for qualified immunity when you sue him happens in the future. Now, when that happens to you, it's where I told you this before, and this has been evidenced over and over, they will shoot you now and be justified. But you, we've got to think differently on how our interactions go. I'm not saying you don't assert yourself in the right, but you got to be cognizant that these people are soldiers that are going to shoot you because they get to go home at night and you don't. On the statement of somebody, the hearsay statement of somebody else. Here, I didn't appreciate this story too much. Again, it just gets us off the idea. We get to the sensation. We start losing the focus on what we need to do for us. Not of you, my listeners, won't be in a car in a PCP, be doing PCP or any of that, or be controlled or whatever. Probably, to be called on, but we don't know. We never would know. It could be assumed upon you. You're not presumed innocent anymore. That's been taken out by these psychopaths. They put on a costume and now they rule the world. They are the law. They're above the law. I just wrote that in the complaint. But before I say that, it's not an opinion. I've established all the law they failed to follow that they are completely a willful and flagrant disregard of. Moving on to another story at Rutherford Institute website. I think it was John Whitehead, I think, writing. I don't know. I don't even want to get personal to the guy. I just find it confusing to me. Another thing, a real odd discussion, a real odd term called curtilage. This title, Supreme Court strips apartment dwellers of Fourth Amendment rights. In refusing to affirm the hallways outside apartments are protected curtilage, which police may not invade without a warrant or a resident's consent, the U.S. Supreme Court has let stand a lower court ruling that leaves apartment dwellers vulnerable to warrantless police surveillance and arrests. In an amicus brief filed in Sorensen versus Massachusetts, Rutherford Institute attorneys now, not just him, but a couple of us apparently, had argued that just as the curtilage of a detached home are off limits to police without a warrant, areas immediately adjacent to an apartment should also be considered protected curtilage under the Fourth Amendment. So let's just run over to curtilage. It's a really weird term. And I had a couple court cases a long time ago, but even before I started studying all the nonsense that goes on. In fact, one of the cases was about, well, I think I've told you about the FED action where I was tried to be thrown off the property that I had a license to be on, and that was my answer. I had a license to be there by the owner. It completely ripped the defense, the prosecution apart, and the judge was just stunned. No one, like very few people know to bring that, but I had found it in my little red property book just hours before the court case. But I had license to be there. They couldn't throw me off. They couldn't use an FED. And that's when I started understanding the power of property and what your authorities are. Well, with regard to property, you have buildings. They have this anomaly. You think you own your property, but anything called an open field, and that's everything not your house or the curtilage, the cops and the government have access to. I'm saying I agree with it. I'm saying that's the fact. So curtilage, to my understanding, the nubbin of it was, it's only the space you have reasonable belief to your privacy in. In other words, like your patios, the enclosed spaces around your home. And going to Cornell, there's 4 points here. They do it a little differently, but I'll read them. The proximity of the thing to the dwelling is considered in what a curtilage is, what this space is. Number two, whether the thing is within an enclosure surrounding the home. Number three, what the thing is used for. In other words, when you come, you're going to use a defense. You have to list these. Now the Supreme Court's laid out what you have to say. You have to be able to list these, and they have to be protectable. And number four, what steps, if any, the resident took to protect the thing from observation accessed by people passing by. A lot of this earlier on was like pot growers before some of the laws were relaxed. This is where the cops were coming in, or the war on drugs, and coming in and invading your land. There's no invasion up until the curtilage, the house, and immediately around the house that requires the warrant. That's what that ends up being. Well, to my mind, I didn't see here clearly stated that there has to be in this area a reasonable expectation of privacy. So let me go back. Let's look at that. Supreme Court strips apartment dwellers of Fourth Amendment rights. Now, when you rent an apartment, what's your rights? It's not to the whole area around the building. It's only to similar to a townhouse or a what are the other words? There's another word for them. I can't remember. Like a townhouse. You own the walls of the air. You don't even own the walls. Airspace inside. The control of that, like a lease. You just have access to it. Exclusive access based on your contract. You have no access. You have no property outside of that. And there's another thing on this that they don't even talk about. I didn't even get to the court case. But you also agree on all your properties, unless it's fenced off completely. You agree to access to your front door. That's been given to anybody from the street to come to your front door. Partly the problem with senseless workers. So that space right to your door is not even, there's no expectation of privacy from the street to your door. And when you consider most apartment complexes, that includes every pathway right to your door. That includes an elevator if you live on an upscale thing. And then where is your protectable space anyway? The point being that there's no curtilage in an apartment complex that isn't inside the walls. There's no expectation of privacy of your walkways. That I don't even understand why they even wrote and wasted their time on an amicus stating that there's curtilage around an apartment complex in that title. So the Supreme Court did not strip apartment dwellers of Fourth Amendment rights. The way the law was set up, it's never been to the right of an apartment dweller to claim private possession of the access to their front door or the area around. There might be to that little alcove type area they put sometimes behind apartments. And even then you saw that it requires that you may have to take extra steps in order to protect it from external view. And so here's another one. Supreme Court stripped apartment dwellers of Fourth Amendment rights. It's not. Absolutely not. When I read that, this is absolutely not. From the title, can't happen. But yet this guy writes a paper, his attorneys write the paper that says it should be. Now, I want to know, based on those two things, why in the heck are they spending so much time on these cases in this way when it seems to me from a distance I look in and say, well, this is just not even viable. Why do you waste your time? Where are they to hit the fraud of COVID? Hit every governmental governor or whatever. They're the attorneys, and this is probably why it doesn't work. This is why it's not going to happen. They don't do the right argument. But were they all this time instead of these two issues that I wouldn't even wasted my time with them knowing the facts. Not for those issues. Why weren't they turning their attention on something much more detrimental to society, like the destruction of it through this fraud called COVID? And so I'm really disappointed at some level, but there it is. I'm on record. It seems that common, simple principles, whether I agree with some of them or not, is irrelevant. It's how does the system deal with it? The analysis of which would say you don't need to waste time in those two, not in those two cases, but they did. And I'm just looking at this disaster that's going on in society. They think those two cases are more important than outing he's probably of a mind that could pull it off, like outing the fraud of the failure to demonstrate a non-fraudulent exigency for the invocation of police power. And we see some of that reflected that didn't happen. This is why I say, where are these attorneys? There's a court case, though, that it helped bring this to light. OHA silently rebuked by Oregon Court of Appeals. OHA is the Oregon Health Authority, which I was telling about the affidavits and writing it up, and the organization that's telling the employers to sick the employees. But I've been talking to you the last few weeks, trying to keep you ahead, because I guess we do have maybe tomorrow's the day you have to have your statements in. But inside of this time, on September 29, 2021, Kate Brown's administration, she's the governor. Man, well, she calls herself the governor. This is the empress, I guess. Kate Brown's administrative state agency went a bridge too far with the Oregon Court of Appeals Court, according to the former state governor regulator, the CPS investigator source, that the majority of ever-growing, enlarging administrative state power over citizens is because citizens bent to it beginning in the modern history in 1970 when the child welfare bureaucracies were put into place and parents believed they had to open their doors to child protective services, answer any of their questions, and let them be supervised at access to the children to interview them without parents being present, then increasingly under the present Bill Clinton's 1997 law when the CPS got a door open to child trafficking, sex trafficking, more children were taken. That's the setup. I told you back in the 70s, I told you the power of the rights of child in the UN and what it did in the states and what it did in when I did the documentary I was making, I had senators on tape telling me, and you look right in their eyes, you're sitting right in front of them, you see the terror in their eyes of what they didn't know they let into the state when they agreed to this in the 70s. They're terrified for their own kids, their little goats. But this goes on, and we talk, and this is starting the model. You see where it goes back, the rights of child, this UN, it inputs into the state. This is the same thing we're dealing with in this COVID. All right? It's the same stuff, folks. Back in the 70s, they were pulling this thing in, all coming in. And the court's analysis included that OHA has had so many changes for over a year. This particular lawsuit used a former guidance which no longer existed. And you see how they're doing this. They keep moving the goalposts. And the court's saying, well, you actually can't do that. See, administrative law has certain things you have to do. And they say, because of that, thus, there was nothing for the appeals court to rule on under the law. Thus, the case was moot. That's the reason for the dismissal, not that Kate Brown had won anything that day in court. But the court's words of, quote, non-mandatory requirements, no person in Oregon is under any law to obey them. Then it goes on to explain the issue. There is no actual lawful imposition of any mandatory requirements in Oregon. Partly because of the administrative side of the problem that's been moving the goalposts and not doing anything by the law, and no one is challenging that. This case was a kind of an offhanded exposure, not a direct challenge that didn't exist, but the court recognized that they had moved the goalposts enough that they didn't even have a goalpost anymore. It wasn't even on the field. They got nothing. And so this is the state I want to talk to you about, Wyoming. It's the same way everywhere. If we could just get the more proper action. So we're here. They're shutting the whole state down everywhere. In Oregon's having some, these are, in fact, the people that are taking the affidavit, they're all from Oregon so far that I've had communicate with my colleague or myself. Whether it goes from the top to the bottom, it's all over the place. There is actually no mandatory requirements. And so I asked my colleague, so what's the point? What is this thing that they're imposing maybe tomorrow here? Where is the federal authority here that's not being pushed away? As we were told by the reservation, the United States government itself, in the reservation made of in the 2005 International Health Act. Remember that reservation that said, "Oh, the states have the power for health issues," and that's right. And so here we have a state. As I told you, Wyoming likely doesn't have the administrative record. Oregon last week, before that other case I heard, but the other case says the same thing. This is what I've been telling you the entire time. A friend of mine brings this little thing, an exception to the rules during emergency or exigent circumstance. So here I'm learning from the FEMA. The FEMA, these are the military folks. The FEMA is that there's a distinction between emergency and exigent circumstance. And when you read them, it's just a famumbling of a bunch of words. However, what I found fascinating, no matter what the subtle distinction between an emergency and an exigent circumstance is, and they do have a subtle difference, one is really the immediacy. Emergency is the immediacy. The other one is what you can see as a terminated future of to resolve a problem of the exigency that you can identify. And this is the whole point. When you read this link, they explain what an emergency is. I don't have the time to go through this and read to you. You can read. You got to read slowly and watch. In other words, the emergency is a short-lived, is more short-lived than exigency. Well, that's a really close, that's an obvious definition, isn't it? No. Anyway, that's the game. Short-lived exigency, and the exigency that they then have to do, it has to be together with demonstrating as well itself the need and what it's avoiding or preventing. This is like similar to the communicable disease law. To alleviate serious harm or injury, financial or otherwise. Well, these things are imposing serious harm and injury and financial harms, aren't they? And so this thing is off the hook. FEMA explains what, relative to contracts and money moving from the feds to the states, what was supposed to happen if I didn't tell you behind the woodshed what was going to happen when they invoked police power prerogative. If they were to receive money, and I think they're talking about the cities here, in order to grant monies to do things, there is a whole lot of things they were supposed to do. One of them is that the city has to demonstrate that this is an exigent circumstance, because use of a sealed bidding process would cause an unacceptable delay affecting children's education and the city's economy if people must stay home with their children. Thus, procurement by non-competitive methods was necessary. In other words, this was an exception underneath the extreme need, like a variance, if you will, for land use. And they have to name the exigency. That says right here. They just don't get the money like you see the federal government passing through on the sky is falling hearsay of, there's a communicable disease that's around the corner that can threaten us. This website from FEMA explains exactly what I've been saying. It's just what the law is, that there has to be a demonstration, an explanation of a demonstration, and the need of that need relative to the procurement of money and the granting for purposes of dealing with the emergency they've identified or the exigent circumstance. And so I'll leave you to read it. You can see what's all involved. You just tell me, I want you to just look and say, well, have you ever seen the governor do this detail? Because this detail was upon the governor before this thing got started. Then it was upon the governor to ask for the money. Was any of this done non-fraudulently? Did anybody go check? So, objective basis, if you don't take my opinions about what this stuff is supposed to be and do, as I was explaining, the labor law details out, there has to be records of very specific things documented before you can just be rejected. We got a court case that actually kind of comes on to say that. But here's another list of things you can see objectively, if you don't want to believe me, what you have to say was not done by the government, which amounts, even if they didn't have one, cumulatively, it couldn't meet what's needed to be done relative to the imposition and interference with things such as child schooling. It's all right here, actually. As I told a friend's son, I said, in fact, the state is telling their employees exactly what the state has to be telling them, and it's exactly what I was reading to you in the Department of Labor's requirements. So the state is complying with the Department of Labor, and I said, they're telling you exactly what they can and cannot do, but you don't know what to do with that information. They are telling the employees they have a limitation on the scope. I said, when you know that's a limitation, that's what you put against them. But they are actually disclosing to the employees they're exposing the condition. And if people were educated to understand what they were hearing, the answers are given to them in the notice from the employers. I was really kind of surprised. He recognized readily these were problems, but he didn't really know how to apply what he was hearing. I said, well, when they tell you they have this limit, that's the limit you say they haven't met. When they say that they only go so far, you tell them, you show how they went beyond. It's just a statement. And you base that on what they told you. That's the notice from them. They had to do that. And I was actually happy to hear that the state was actually complying with the law, but it was federal law. I'm talking federal law. He's a state employee, and he's telling me that's what they told him. And I said, well, did you understand when they told you that was the limit of their authority? Now they've just breached that? And he looks at me and with a smile on his face, and not really. I said, this is our problem. The state is working just like an employer. They have all the same limitations, and they're telling you exactly what they have to, and I'm happy to hear that. What is the problem here is you have people bailing and running and not doing the paperwork and not addressing the issues they told you that they could not do, that they haven't, or the things they needed to do, they haven't. And that's what I've been asking you all to do that may listen and have a problem, even as late as tonight. I think you have until, if it is by the 18th, to make up your affidavits or whatever it is, you have probably till 5 o'clock. At least get them in. Start the process of the record that doesn't seem to ever be made. Now, here's where this all goes relative to this failure of the exigency, how it goes, how we see it's planned. Because there is no statement of a non-fraudulent exigency anywhere, in any jurisdiction, not just the United States, but globally. This, in my view, has always been a war maneuver, a war, it's been an attack. I think we may have just heard here now, a late breaking news, thank you in the RLM chat for this. I thought I saw some snippets of this, but here, this spoke a lot this morning, before the broadcast. I think we're hearing the declaration of war against us. You could differ with what my opinion is on this, but I think we can hear it right here. And I'll just tell you right now, it's about the economy, stupid. It's STOOPID for those of us. It's about the economy. And this voice from the U.S. Treasury, U.S. Treasury is the core voice, the core substance that the IMF takes their lead from. And so this reflects now days, weeks, months later, what Lagarde, I think it was Lagarde, had mentioned, that the vaccine policy is going to essentially supplant monetary and fiscal policy. U.S. Treasury Deputy Secretary warns unvaxxed Americans that shortages will continue until everyone is jabbed, is the headline. Department Secretary at the U.S. Treasury has put Americans, now it's just Americans, on notice that the only way to end the plague of empty shelves now around the country is for every resident to be vaccinated. The frank warning came off as a threat to many. I'll tell you, this is a declaration of war against the people of the United States. And it's a war crime. You don't mess with their food. War, you go after the armies. You go after the militaries. They fight. You're not supposed to go after the people. This is a direct declaration of war. Do people hear what I'm saying? This is a declaration of war. They're going after you. They're coming after your food. They're coming after your supplies. They've done it by messing up the globalism supply chain that I told you years ago it's a serial supply chain. And it's easy at that point. I almost said it, Vince. It can be interrupted very, I'll say it anyway, Vince, easily. Couldn't get away from that one. I tried. You heard me try. But this is a declaration of war against you, and this is austerity, and this is how they plan to do it. And now you're seeing nothing to do with the people. Why they're blaming the unvaxxed is why they're blaming the unvaxxed. Healthy people are now blamed for not having the supplies in the shelves. And until you make yourself unhealthy, until you receive a chemical weapon, become the chemical weapon delivery system, the United States government is going to make you suffer. If you didn't understand that we were under a war at 2019, as I told you, or 9/11, actually, by the government of the United States, I don't know how you escape what I'm saying now. The headline reads that my fellow asymptomatic healthy people, are the problem causing their supply chain problem. But if you look at what they said, they knew it was going to happen. They planned it. This is premeditated. Just like we've seen, anybody who's doing any research has read that it's going on. I want to read, but I don't want to read. You need to read. This is, they're showing that there's a hold up. They try to blame. They're also blaming you truckers, folks. So good. Thank you. Thank you for not being vaccinated and killing yourself. Right, they're trying to blame somebody that's not them for having the ships off ashore, not coming in and being unloaded, even though it's said that they're in record levels of offloading supplies. So they blame the trucker. This is all a coordinated, premeditated attack on Americans. They're utilizing the red herring that unvaxxed Americans had anything to do with supply chains or truckers or the trucking or everything that they've been doing. They're still doing it. They're just doing it and in only certain things, which is also highly suspect. Again, premeditated. They know where to hit us, as I told you early on. And so here's the, I was really a little bit stunned. I started thinking more about this and almost a bit lost in it. The Treasury Secretary is saying there are going to be shortages of food and supplies until everyone is jabbed. This is a declaration of war, and it's done without authority. Why? Because the Treasury guy is not your doctor. He's not your local public official. And he hasn't demonstrated the exigency either. The non-fraudulent one he has to do, right? And yet, am I going to hear much about that? Is anybody going to step up? Is any attorney that can be protected by his license, if you will? Because this is what you have to start looking at. Who's protected by what? It's probably why you don't see many step up, or why you don't see the doctor step up. You see how this place was folded into, set up for a takedown. You start licensing everybody, and if they still believe they want that, or that it can be taken away from them, they will not jeopardize it. The U.S. Treasury Department Secretary warns unvaxxed Americans that shortages will continue until everyone is jabbed. I can't say it enough, maybe, and I'll have to end here again. I'll say it. That is a declaration of war. And when you understand with sabotage and you understand the law that prohibits, that continues the supply of things to the people to continue their production, to continue their existence so that they can help themselves to protect themselves. Until you understand the totality of what he's saying, I don't know that people will appreciate that that's a declaration of war. I said it again. I'm stunned here, folks. It's out now. I don't know what else. What else do we do? What else? Okay, you Second Amendment folks, what are you going to do with that? They're going to starve you out. They're going to starve you out. You're in the castle keep. You're in the inside the walls. That's the border of your country, and they've just shut off all the supplies or the ones they want you to have. Oh, that reminds me of something. That's like Gaza, isn't it? Isn't that like Gaza? Israelis. I told you that. Look over there. You're going to see a point where they're going to be doing the same thing. And we're going to reflect that. Oh, yeah. Your supplies are being cut off. Your food is being cut off. Folks, I hope you're packing food up right now. I don't know how long you're going to have to go forward with this. That will depend on how many people start standing up to say, that's enough. That's enough. But here it is. Okay, I'm going to move on. Another response here about the Marburg. I want to just point this out. Keep our heads up. I think there's a cover coming. And this also mentioned, I don't mention the prions too much. But whenever you talk about proteins, which is like the spike protein, you have the problem of mutating misfoldings of proteins. So they're always in the background. We talk about proteins, we're talking about prions, we're talking about misfolded problems, mutations that cause trouble. And this article here, Marburg virus and prions, it calls it up. I think it was valid, but you need to see it. I appreciate what it has said in this, so I put it together. They explain a bit about this. They go through some of the lineage. They go through how the interaction, the zoonotic connection, and how they blame bats and all that. It's all nonsense. This article goes through it. Does talk about the prions. It talks about hemorrhagic fever. It talks about this thing called Marburg, as I told you, and as it looks more like a venom, an insect venom response, a chemical weapon, it can cause bleeding and block and clots that we are seeing happen in this jab, this other chemical weapon, where they make the people who take it a chemical weapons delivery system. And again, as I said, it's not all bad for us. As long as we stay away from it, don't get it in us. Our defensive systems may be good if we keep them fortified. But this is, again, I wanted to bring this up. Came to me in an email. There's more and more discussion about this Marburg. I understood, if I read right someplace, even Bill Gates spoke that Marburg would be something in the future. I don't want us to focus only on it because they've predicted endless disease. That's going to be all kinds. What I now realize that these, to my mind and my satisfaction, even if you call it Marburg and they had an original capacity naturally, they've actually synthesized this stuff, and these are all chemistries, and which is protein construction, and these, like these variants really are possibly mutations of the protein. And you're watching this prion disease. It ends up coming into your brain like the encephalitis and some mad cow disease. Whatever, human disease now in your madness. And this is why I say, when the judges are making decisions against us on these vaccines, have they been given the shot? Are they now one of them that wants the rest to have the shot? Are they now incapacitated in their brain and don't know it to some level? I think has to be brought up now. I was thinking about it last night. I sleep with these thoughts, folks. We may have to put on the record, like, in other words, like we challenged the Bar Association for its treason in 2013. We're going to have to, I can do that. In fact, that's part of my work in what we're doing in the criminal complaint. we throw that in there that they've admitted to committing treason, but now their members are incapacitated by the thing that they agreed to and didn't do the law to check, which is this jab, which now makes them incapacitated, and we can't tell. There's no test to know that. As I said before, the lawyers looking at the union, which we don't have the union decision yet, which may be because of delay because they got the shot, the attorneys that would look at the affidavit, they're affected by the jab. One, ideologically, they accept it, and two, physically, that they may not understand what that may be doing to them. And I say may because I don't know where it targets anyone. This is a very interesting problem as well. It's a way to, a cool cover. Boy, militarily, they really got a good cover going on this thing. But Marburg is coming up again. So people are now a little more keen to it. That brought up the prions. I was appreciative of that. Marburg pandemic will be used to cover up vaccine clotting injuries and create new round of death. Exactly what I was saying. Someone else writes about it from Indie Media Ireland. And I appreciated their take. And this is an even more discussion on the chronology of things. Again, it does have a certain view. It's a, you know, if you will, looking at it with a skeptical view that, you know, certainly this can't be normal. I think this might be the one maybe where Bill Gates has talked about. Yeah, the next pandemic, Marburg, was a Bill Gates Gavi publication in April 22nd of this year. So this was on the horizon. And thank you to one of the emailers of last week or week before that put me back just to let you know. I don't even know what to do with this. But there's going to be endless disease. We have to understand how to figure out which one is a psyop and maybe which one might be more reality. This is the whole point about it. There are real things. And so I don't want to ever disregard that potential. But we don't necessarily know that any treatment is going to be good for us. And that was supposed to be the arena of our doctor-patient relationship, exclusive and private. And if you start to understand, like I was explaining to my friend's son, how this thing was supposed to be going on, the schools would never be involved like where they are. The private industry would never be involved because it would be between you, the doctor, and the public health official that's trying to work out how to best prevent the thing that you have acquired somehow that they can prove you acquired, not like they're doing now, and then take the reasonable steps to treatment that allow it to prevent the spread, but don't violate, don't oppress you in the process. Now, that said, there's always the exceptions to the rule about who doesn't want to be oppressed for what. But anyway, we're not talking about that. We're just talking about looking at the normalcy of things. When people get sick, they go to bed, that should be it. In this case, they've taken that and they've expanded that into what you watch in the world is controlling the entire world and now declaring war on American people. We are closing the gates to the castle. You will not get supplies unless we allow them until you do what we say. But they don't have a right to say, folks. And nobody is saying that. The science of propaganda is still being developed and advanced. Story from Zero Hedge, we live in a far less free society than most think. Absolutely, going through and telling you what it's going on. It looks like we're free, but here's the illusion. I told you the spaghetti western, and we could be more free, but it's going to take our energy and responsibility to pull that off. And so this is a discussion about that influence. They bring in the Pentagon, the war condition, the CIA. They've turned everything inwards. That statement by the secretary, deputy treasurer of Treasury Department, that's just a stunner. They're not bashful now. That's your economic life saying they're attacking the people of the United States and they're going to use that economy to do it. And what economy is? It's what they own. It's those evidences of debt that you have in their system. As I've been trying to tell you, make sure if you can, make an alternative system, a parallel system. And so we're going to move on quicker. NATO's plans to hack your brain. So we have propaganda, right? We have the thing, like I said, Marburg, it looks like it's coming along as a tool, or just as another psyop. We've got that title here, the science of propaganda is still being developed. Absolutely, but they have a lot, they know you better than you know yourself, folks. It's just going to be repetition of that that I've been telling you for years. NATO's plan to hack your brain. The Western governments and the NATO military alliance are developing tactics of cognitive warfare using the supposed threats of China and Russia to justify waging a battle on your brain in the human domain, you animal, to make everyone a weapon. Now, if they're going to do that with your mind, they're not bashful to do it with your physiognomy, your bodily processes. That's the first thing I took away with that. The point is that remember, they talk about China and Russia here, but they're turning the cannons inward. This is on you, not anybody else. They're in and attacking their own, supposedly the NATO generally, for the United States. The United States is behind here pushing this. The U.S.-led NATO military cartel has tested novel modes of hybrid warfare. We've read, any of us who are doing studies have read this. If you haven't read it, you need to find these articles just so that you're known and familiar that they're there. These militaries are taking control. They're the implementing arm of whomever is now in the driver's seat. Why do I think that? Because they're not stopping the coup d'etat against your way of life. When the Deputy Treasury Secretary declares war on the American people and the military's not there to protect you, take him out. You have to reassess the world you're living in. They now come up and say, NATO, there's a transition going on in the world of power. And I told you it's going to go to the pipsqueak over in the Middle East. This is a little bit indicative of what's going on with that. I guess if I have to say that, I don't know if people will put that together. Moving over to now into Australia. Australian police can now spy on citizens, disrupt their computers, take over the online accounts, and change their data. Well, this is, again, all the information warfare, total domination of what's going on. That came from the United States government. Now it's coming out that the knowledge about use of the iPhones, they're inside the system. They're in there, folks. Everything you have, as I've talked about, the battlefield of the Internet of Things, they're just letting you know they have control. They have cognitive warfare tools that they're putting on to get you to think a certain way. I suspect when you start getting your body is under stress and your spirit's under stress, you're going to even be more receptive. I don't know if I want to go quite yet to the 5G interference because I've told you I don't see, and maybe it is in Europe, but I haven't seen it in the United States. I don't know that those electronic means are in place yet to allow the actual bandwidth of 5G. They're actually doing this kind of push out of 4 still. They're just still in 4 doing a plus. So we are not at those frequencies, I don't think, yet, nor are we at the capacity of directed beams. It's slowly being put in place. So I'm not necessarily so worried about so-called 5G like we're talking about. Yes, I understand it. I understand it. And I've talked to everybody about binary weapons, trinary weapons, all this stuff. It's coming out still. People are talking about it. I've been cognizant of all that, but we got to keep a level head. They are telling us that the battlefield of the Internet of Things, they're using it as a tool for cognitive warfare. I'm telling you, they're not bashful to attack you physically with this jab at warp speed, and we're just getting knowledge. We really have to start paying attention to what's around us and how to look forward to best avoid it. I'm hoping, again, stay off the track of the train. Don't be there when it comes by. Because, again, this control, they're blaming the healthy. And they want to make everyone else sick. And they want to make, when you start getting sick or your family gets sick, you're paying attention to that. You're not going to go, you're politically neutralized. You're effectively neutralized. You're not going to be doing much more than railing with your signs. Partly because you didn't know that wasn't really what you should be doing. And you should have been doing whatever you should have been doing earlier. And then, as I say, make that objective record. It's not that hard, actually. That the asymptomatic, the healthy are being blamed, and they're suffering, and they're going to be made to suffer because they want everybody to get that job because it means something to these people. Whether that's just pure profit, it could be, but I don't think so. It's way beyond that. You've heard me talk about it all for a long time, so it's not even a question, certainly not in my mind. But this is what happens to us as a healthy people. What's amazing, I was thinking about it the other day, I keep repeating, long time ago, and I've said this before, when I was a kid, I said, well, there's not going to be anything when I get old. They talk about Social Security and all that, and it's not going to be, I just didn't think it was, not think, I just knew there wasn't going to be anything. There wasn't going to be any care. There wasn't going to be anything. I didn't know it would come out like this. I certainly wasn't an ability to see this, what we're dealing with. But this is now kind of fulfills what, if I could say, it was the fear come upon me. What I determined my future to, that it would be here when I thought back when I was a little kid, probably with a much better awareness at some level without knowing the specifics. There was not going to be things available to us as I got to an older age. And we look at what's going on around us. It's just kind of right there. How did I kind of sense that? This, UC Health denies kidney transplant to unvaccinated woman and donor. Now, why this woman and her donor are getting penalized is way beyond me. That's way beyond preventing disease, way beyond the pale, if you will. This is a war on people. The Colorado woman with stage 5 renal failure was months away from getting a new kidney. Now, she and her donor are looking for another hospital after learning UC Health's new policy. According to UC Health, the majority of transplant recipients and living donors are now required to be vaccinated against COVID-19. Neither woman has received their shots. These people are taking the power of life and death. This is a war against healthy people. And I say that advisedly. She's not a healthy woman, is she? She has renal failure. But it's within our capacity to give her the care that she needs. There is no care. This has to be demonic. I don't know what else to say about it. I keep wanting to hesitate a little bit on all these references, but I don't understand how to describe this anymore. How would you do this? You have two willing people wanting to do something, and you just need a third party to do these procedure, and you're stopped because you don't have something your private doctor hasn't said you absolutely have to have, or that there's not an alternative to something, even if we said COVID was something. The doctor, the exclusive authority of that for the private care, not this operation, but the private care, has not determined that was needed. Neither has the health official said, no, we have to prevent this in somebody. Nothing. Nothing. Where is our care, folks? Where is the voice of outcry? Colorado State University threatens to arrest unvaccinated students. Well, the little girl in Wyoming, she's been the first. She precedes all these adults in college. Colorado State University threatens to arrest unvaccinated students. How do they have the power to do that? Where were any one of those students declared to be the risk to the public that allows this? Where was the administrative procedures? It all applies to what I said the first hour, 45 minutes of my discussion. Where are these students that have the knowledge, these high school graduates no less, to have the knowledge of protecting themselves against this kind of a tyranny and oppression? Where? Where are we to help them if they don't have it? Where are the attorneys? Pro bono. This is now every man and woman needs to lock arms to defend ourselves. Money does not matter. Money is what they're using to destroy you and steal your food. So says the U.S. Treasury. So says U.S. Treasury. Again, there is no the Treasury. Nothing like it. Colorado State University threatens to arrest unvaccinated students. Why? What's their threat? What is someone who's healthy threat to that university? Is not stated. Is not demanded. German state allows food stores to ban the unvaccinated. Since when? As I told you before, since when did healthy people become disability? Since when, more importantly, to communicable disease law, the ostensible reason for all this, since when did the communicable disease officials, without jurisdiction, without pointing to anyone being the one which may be the infectious principal, carrying an infectious agent, since when there's nothing like that in the works, do they have any authority to impose upon healthy people? Why don't I hear that question asked across this land of the 30% or so, if we just generalities, of people that haven't yet been attacked by the chemical weapon and are resisting the imposition? Why aren't we seeing people bring the black and white? I'm asking that only to say, if you know people, they have to be integrated with things they're not familiar with. They have to be integrated with administrative procedures. They have to be, more importantly at this point, understanding what the communicable disease law's duties upon the health official are that has the power to declare you a risk. And that is still contingent on more due process to protect you in case they're erroneous. Where is all this insistence on our own law and due process amongst the people? German state allows food stores to ban the unvaccinated. I don't pretend to know about Germany. Where is it? How is that at all any kind of an ability, a lawful ability to ban healthy people from a store? Where is German law and German lawyers in order to stop that kind of an oppression and tyranny? Is Germany that different that they can do that to healthy people, innocent people, and upon something they haven't been able to and cannot declare is the cause? Where are we, folks? I don't understand. I'm really missing it. Philadelphia Children's Hospital deals with epidemic of mental illness, non-COVID respiratory illnesses due to lockdown policies. Do I need to read more? Because the thing is on its head, because they haven't demonstrated that emergency, that thing that's causing the emergency, I demonstrated the exigency, they're doing all kinds of stuff. Here, let's throw gasoline on the fire. Maybe we'll burn the thing up quicker and be done with the fire. They didn't even do that, right? They didn't even let that wildfire go through society to gain the herd immunity and resistance and immunity, did they? They didn't even do that. No, they're like someone with a magnifying glass that likes to torment ants and other insects. The mitigation measures are causing epidemic. Where is the public health official to prevent this? Epidemic of mental illness to little ones. This is abuse, folks. Non-COVID respiratory illness. This is just a rehash of what we talked about, the masks cause, the lack of fresh air and activity and all that cause, being locked up in places, having to sit behind partitions with stale air. Walgreens, they're after your kids, folks. Walgreens accidentally gives COVID vaccine to kids. Accidentally? Both of those kids, those little goats, now suffering heart issues. And this kind of got me to thinking. They gave so-called adult insect volumes of this chemical weapon to two little ones. And they immediately developed heart issues. Seemed to me to prove that those people that are young males, typically, not all, but some, the ones we hear in the news, that are getting heart issues, it may be because they weren't identified to have a proper treatment. They're getting a general treatment, a general warrant of application instead of specifically a probable cause-based treatment for their jab. That the ones that are getting hearts may be evidencing the fact they got too much. And that was never determined in these tests that were called safe. I don't want to underpin the fact that somebody gave little ones a vaccine at all. But there's another indication here that the heart problems and looking at the size of the little ones relative to the shot, and it's supposed to be to an adult, and they had immediate heart issues, maybe indicates what happens to us when we get too much for any one of us. And I say that for each one of you that maybe have a statement to make. When you get back to your doctor, you say, wait a minute, my doctor has to do this treatment. I don't know what kind of a medical condition, and I don't know what the size of the dose is supposed to be. How about if we work it out with my doctor? You have a statement to make against their imposition, and you show they are not the doctor. They're not the licensed professional that has the exclusive jurisdiction. What do I say all that for? That's Portuguese court case said that. Due process, rule of law, and democracy, right? Portugal stated that the exclusive jurisdiction of treatment's in the doctor. The doctor, him or her, does not lose that relationship just because a public health official has to make a report and a finding and a prevention and assessment and all that stuff. No, the treatment that's given over from the health official is up to the doctor and the patient. And that's where I was telling a friend of mine's son, that was really where your exemption comes in. When the doctor said, it looks like you need to get an injection, that's when the exemption for whatever religious exemption would come out, if that's what you have, to the doctor. The doctor would then translate that over to the public health official, and they'd say, okay, we can't do anything. We can't use that method. What else do we have in our bag of tricks? So this thing is completely on its head. All the authorities are thrown out the window, and that's not law. That's not organic establishment. That's not due process. We're not looking at legitimate government. I don't care where we look. And it's causing harm no matter where you go, to the point that people are so confused that a company is injecting little ones with adult values of a chemical weapon. I can't say it any else other way. I've been looking, folks. There's no biological component to these things. Kanukistan, mysterious illness outbreak, 6 dead, an investigation launched into brain disease. Well, does that not scream jab, folks? But we talk about like this encephalopathy and all this other stuff. We talk about Marburg causes this as well. I'm not saying Marburg's doing it. I'm saying whatever they're inventing, the thing that they patented, the privately owned components that they put together to stick in people's arms, has this as a adverse event before they took it off. We now have an outbreak, right? Where is the public health officials besides just, oh, we're going to study it? Why didn't they just do this before? Why do they do this now? We're going to study this, but they didn't study the isolate the infectious agent for COVID at all. An unknown brain disease. Really? You think it's unknown? Or do you think they're just covering it up? And this is a whole other problem. Cooking the books, don't, you know, give qualified information out. Kanukistan, judge sentences street pastor, communist style, for opening church during lockdown. This is that pastor Artur Pawlowski. How, especially in Kanukistan, which looks like one of the, it's second to Australia for oppression that way. It's like they're dragging out the misery there. Fascinating. And I wish a couple of you would get together that you want to get together. I understand the hesitation, but we have to figure out a way to move together. But this pastor, one of the fallouts of this fraud, one of the fallouts of authorities believing they have authority, and one of the fallouts where the judiciary is complicit in the fraud, allowing judges to be tyrants. This guy, this pastor, Artur Pawlowski, may be the guy that can state that. And maybe people will start to listen. I have a couple of links of what's gone on. This guy is the one that had his church open. He got arrested. I did a couple of reports on him just for having a church open. He's a very adamant, very focused gentleman, very outspoken. He's telling, and I got a video when we come up to it here, that he's telling the court they gagged him and told him that he had to essentially betray his own beliefs. He has to state what the judge states he has to say about so-called science. Has to deny his own belief system. Totally off the hook, folks. I don't even know what to say about this. As it says here, he has to repeat. Mr. Germain, this is the justice up there, ordered that for the next 18 months, Mr. Pawlowski must repudiate himself and give the, quote, official government narrative after even every public statement on lockdowns, the pandemic, or vaccines. If he does not follow orders, he will be jailed. Well, the reason why the judge didn't put him in jail, because he understood that would make this pastor a martyr. If you can understand the religious connections going on here between the heretic in Artur and then the religion of the state. And they're saying this is compelled speech, like a Maoist struggle session in communist China. I told you the pivot to China was a whole lot more than what they were talking about militarily, which, if it sounds right, we're going to lose Taiwan if they ever try it. And if we're not going to lose Taiwan, do you want your little ones going to war? They're ramping up that women have to be in, will be brought in, indoctrinated and conscripted. Forced speech is unheard of under Canadian law. You're not under Canadian law, folks. You're under rule of law and democracy tyranny. People really need to start understanding how they're going to have to discuss what's going on here. The Calgary judge hands out fines, not jail, to prevent notoriety of COVID-19. As I was saying, the judge knows if they put this guy in jail, this pastor in jail, he will become a martyr. He himself says it will empower me. Millions listen to me when I go to jail. hundreds when we have church. Take your choice. Valiant, courageous. I would hope that they did better law, though, is I guess the point. No one is challenging. The judge is allowed to say there's science. We know through the case in Tennessee that the Supreme Court of Tennessee and all the seemingly the whole case, we're now testing the appellate court there in Tennessee. We know all the bar members in Tennessee have already aided and abetted and committed their own fraud, concurring with this attack on America and the world in COVID-19. None of which have demonstrated or thought it necessary to demonstrate. You're not under law. You're under an open tyranny, the perpetrators of which, and the coup d'etat of which is being perfected when you hear Treasury, the Secretary, say, we're going to starve you out. You don't think that social credit system's right there, folks? You don't think it is? So we have a video. You can see what our Pastor Pawlowski says. Inspiring. I wish him a lot of luck. I wish they did more better law. I wish the people up there, you Canuckistanians that could help him out, do better law, do better what I'm saying. Start bringing these judges into the charge as well. That'll take a little bit of courage. But I don't know where else you're going to get any traction than to attack the system that is the occupier that is now openly attacking you and wants you dead. Wants you harmed or wants you dead. They'll deal with less. That's okay to them. Kind of like China. They got twice too many people anyway. If they could lose half their population, the government would be fine with that. And they're willing to take half their population and throw them somewhere in a battle to acquire a new territory. We heard that in a 1985 document I read from the Chinese general. This is just open knowledge, open secrets about what they could happen, what could go on. Now, where Pastor Pawlowski would tell the truth and be condemned for it and be told and ordered by a judge to speak lies and counter to his faith, again, totally unheard of, an error of judgment, it could be called, is okay, doesn't suffer any consequences. CBC Edmonton regrets mannequin use in COVID-19 news report. They use a news report. In a news report, they used a mannequin to represent, and they kind of halfway said this was showing what they were preparing and teaching for. They kind of halfway were doing it that way. But they then pressed more on the side that this was legitimate. And what they were showing was a mannequin in a bed in a teaching situation, saying that this was actually going on. It was causing one of the consequences of an increasing amount of COVID cases. And so we have propaganda. We're back to propaganda. And they get to do propaganda. They get to have the license to put a funny term on it, and it's okay. A pastor speaking the truth, he's condemned. You have, folks, it's right here. They're going after your whole, everything that you understand, they're attacking, and they are attacking in an interesting way. That it is domination in how they're attacking. Bombshell, unvaxxed FEMA nurses replacing Texas nurses who refuse vax. Well, those Texas nurses who refuse the vax are causing serious trouble with health care. Again, self-inflicted wound when now supposedly more cases are coming in. The administrators of the hospitals are causing that. But FEMA sent in, again, foreigners, FEMA sent in nurses, and it was in discussion, it said, that the nurses that came in admitted that they were under voluntary compliance for vaccines, while the nurses being kicked out are under supposed a mandatory compliance. And again, where is the proper argument that there's no there wasn't a demonstration of exigency, as I've talked about last 2 weeks, relative to the burdens and duties on an employer through federal law? Biden plans interstate checkpoints during the 1918 Spanish flu. Only the vaccinated died. So here we have the Biden's ordering that you're going to travel and be stopped at the borders. This story is telling us that what happened in the 1918 flu, there's a study and found out that bacteria were actually causing the deaths attributed to the influenza. The treatment was worse than the infectious agent. So where Biden is doing this and blaming this, it's a severity of the 1918 Spanish flu, which is a quote Spanish flu. It didn't start in Spain. It's just another propaganda tool, again, part of the theme of this today. But it was bacteria that was a killer. What do you think is going on today, folks? And that's why we find some of the antibiotics working, and the very things that would destroy those critters, the bacteria, are the things that are being prohibited as treatment. How? Why? Where's the care, folks? We lost it, right? There is none. The military issue, we relate back to the flu. The Spanish flu was actually it was militarily spread around the world, if you go back and look at that. And the consequence of having to fight that in people, who knows what their nutrition was that bacterial pneumonia was really the killer. And what about those cops? On duty police shootings, officers charged with a murder or manslaughter, cops and soldiers. Folks, these are the soldiers around your society. You think they're cops, they're soldiers. On duty police shootings, officers charged with the murders and manslaughter, 2005 to 2018. I was interested in this one because the only chart that really made any sense to me was the one that showed when they get prosecuted, 60% of the cases that don't have cameras are exonerated. And so it occurred to me that we really maybe need to have those cameras because they're the only thing. The presumption of that goes to the cops can, in those cases, be thrown down by actual video evidence. More than half of the police killings are undercounted. So here we have even that study. What the cops are doing that show the prosecution against cops in the last decade or so, the numbers of those killings and what they're attributed to is not much different than COVID-19 being blamed for everything. That the cops killing people are blamed on other things. So cooking the books, even in law enforcement, and we see that what's involved in COVID-19 is the military cooking the books and keeping what? The propaganda going. More than half of the police killings are mislabeled. Another story. Cooking the books is the theme. They use the data, and they mislabel data, they mislabel things, so that it goes in the database to come out to the outcome they need. Propaganda. It's being done by the military. NATO's involved. It's worldwide, folks. It's been spurred by the U.S. So there's just no end to the war that we've been under. Seattle to pay the price as unvaccinated officers face termination. This is like Boston. Chicago. Chicago likely to lose 1,500 cops by January amid mass officer exodus. These exoduses are not necessarily needing to happen if all these so-called law officers would impose the law of the communicable disease duties on the public health official. Where has that been? Where, if they're not going to be able to enforce the law for themselves, how are they able to faithfully do it for you when they are working in the public interest to keep the peace, so-called? Is not described in any of these things, is not explained, is not at all challenged, is not at all brought forward to say that we are in a bad way as people. We're going to suffer. The epitome, I can't tell you how, the epitome of which is the guy who's in charge, one of the guys in charge with the money of this country and worldwide is saying we're going to close the gates to the castle and we're going to starve out the people inside. Is that the future you want? That's the future they want, and they told us about that. Agenda 2030. And I spoke quite so much, I didn't get quite to the end here. But judge orders United Airlines not to put workers seeking vaccine exemption on leave. Fine. Why? Because there's a question. Another judge will say, no, we're going to hold off. Why? Because they led with their immunity and not with the fraud. And under that rule, they can't. The judge was essentially has had his hands tied. I'll be with you next week. Tech tips or nature willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, Journey with Purpose.
Up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.